Okay, those of you who've been here for the past few weeks know, the last 2 weeks, that I've begun talking about the matziv. It's a very general term, the matziv. The matziv can mean many things. And we're going through many things at this time. So let's continue. The one talk is not necessary, does not depend upon the previous one. It's possible to understand or misunderstand each one independent of the other. So there's a klal in halacha. There's a rule in halacha that everybody knows, everybody's familiar with, and the klal is achrei rabim lahatos. Achrei rabim lahatos means that it's a very basic principle in halacha that we have to follow the majority. And how that plays into the laws of Beis Din and so on, and determining the halacha is well known. So that means that as Jews, in order to live as Jews, we have to take into consideration at all times opinion, public opinion. Public opinion makes a difference. Nevertheless, the Torah says, Leitia acher rabim lerois, which means that there's a limit to the obedience that one has and to the concern that one has for public opinion. There's a limit. And what's the limit? So the Torah says that when it comes to something which is wrong, it makes no difference if the entire world says that it's right. Rashi explains, Im reisa rishoyim matim mishpat, that if you see the wicked, if you see the rishoyim matim mishpat, if you see that they are distorting judgment, so Rashi explains, you shouldn't say that since Rabim Haim, it's just me, and I'm by myself, I'm all alone, or I'm part of a tiny little minority, and the Rabim, the many, have expressed this view. So Rashi says, you shouldn't say, that because there's so many, therefore I will go in accordance to that roiv, to that majority. That's the meaning of leitia achrei rabim lerois. Now we're going to learn some history. In general, we have to do this. We're going to be learning Tanakh and history over the next few weeks or months, whatever we need. But in general, we're going to be learning some things I usually don't talk about. But in order to understand the matziv, so we have to learn a little bit Tanakh. And the only way to learn Tanakh, of course, is through the eyes of Chazal. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara is discussing a remarkable event that's recorded in Sefer Melachim Beis and in Sefer Yeshaya. Melachim Beis in Perek Yud Ches and Yeshaya Ches Tes Yud, mostly Perek Ches, regarding a tremendous dispute that was raging in Yerushalayim many years ago. What I'm referring to is an extremely difficult tkufa, a difficult period in our history, when Sancheirav, the king of Ashur, Sancheirav, the king of Assyria, had already conquered that entire part of the world, and he arrived with a huge army. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. He arrived with a huge army to Yerushalayim with the intention of capturing the city, and the city was surrounded. At that time, the population of Yerushalayim was small, unarmed, extremely weak, poor. Ad kidei kach, to the point that Sancheirav mocked the entire population by saying, "V'chialir kazu hergazdi kolach ayolus halolu," for such a pathetic city, I had to bring all of my troops. Linu payhalayla ulamacha yashlich boish avano. Could go to sleep. It's no emergency. Everybody go to sleep. The orders were given to the army, which is embarrassing. So the orders were given that everybody could just go to sleep to relax, and then tomorrow we'll throw rocks, we'll throw our stones, and we'll destroy the city. Nevertheless, we know from the Navi, and Chazal discussed this in the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Chavav, that Sancheiriv made an offer to the Jews with specific conditions. Sancheiriv made an offer to sign a peace treaty. There was an offer to reach some agreement, and there was a very important Jew who Chazal tell us was a chaver on the Sanhedrin, who was a member of the Sanhedrin. That's not a simple thing to get into the Sanhedrin. So he had all the qualifications to be in the Sanhedrin. So this person was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he was Mamuna al Beis HaMikdash, and he was one of those who was in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. One of the most important figures in the Jewish world at that time was a man by the name of Shevna. And Shevna, it says in Pasuk, Shevna Asher al Habayis. He was the one who was primarily in charge of the Beis HaMikdash and was a member of Sanhedrin. Obviously, this man was a great Talmud Chacham. He was the one who believed in conducting diplomatic relations with Sancheiriv. He was the so-called realistic one who was convinced that the entire population of Yerushalayim was at risk and that all of the Jews of Yerushalayim could be killed if we don't enter into an agreement and we don't go along with some conditions and submit to Sancheiriv. On the other hand, Chizkiyo HaMelech and Yeshaya HaNavi were completely opposed to submitting to this peace treaty, to the will of Sancheiriv and to the offer that he was making. Shevna, for the purpose of this treaty, was prepared to offer, what was it that Sancheiriv wanted? Not really much. He wanted basically Malchus, he wanted Yerushalayim, he wanted the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted everything. That's not something new in our history. So he wanted everything. And Shevna was of the opinion that we have to be willing to, in order to save the lives of the population of Yerushalayim, we have to be willing to give these things up. And here was a great Talmud Chacham. Chazal tells us, it says in the Gemara, that the Jews, the population of Yerushalayim, were divided into two camps. The Shevna group, those who supported the view of Shevna, that said, let's surrender and let's sign a peace treaty. There were 130,000 followers of Shevna. On the other hand, those who joined Chizkiyo and Yeshaya, there were 110,000. So the majority of the population was in a state of unbelievable yeish, despair, and dika'ain, depression. Even those who were ostensibly still on the side of Yeshaya and Chizkiya were wavering. They weren't strong in their position. And each day, more and more people were moving over from the camp of the Navi and of the king to the camp of Shevna. Therefore, Chizkiya and the Navi Yeshaya spent that time trying to infuse the population of Yerushalayim with emunah and bitochen, with faith and with trust in Hashem. L'chein koma Hashem el melech osher lo yovol ir hazois. And the Navi promised that Sancheiriv will not be able to enter into the city. Now there are, according to some estimations, hundreds of thousands of soldiers surrounding a city, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, powerful, well-fed soldiers surrounding the city, unarmed, weak, and an extremely frightened population in the city. And the Navi says, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And lo yovai el ha'ir hazais, he will not come into Yerushalayim. So this is a pella. Again, we need historical background here. So I make sure that everybody's familiar with the story. What's the pella? What's the remarkable thing here? Yeshaya Hanavi and Chizkiah knew through the power of Nevuah that was revealed to Yeshaya. Yeshaya knew with absolute certainty that there was going to be a Yeshua. The name Yeshaya means Yeshua. That there was going to be a salvation, B'derech Neis, in the most remarkable way. In the words of the Medrash in Eicha, which I mentioned once before, we learned once before, Chizkiah said, Ani ein bi koach lehilachem. Chizkiah said, I don't have the strength to wage a war, a physical war. Ella ani yoshen al mitasi. He said to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, I will go to sleep, I will lie down in my bed. Va'ata oise. And Rebbeinu Shlomo, you will take care of the milchama. You will take care. Ani yoshen al mitasi va'ata oise. There are many people who live their entire lives with that philosophy. Ani yoshen al mitasi va'ata oise. Except they mean their parents. So, Chizkiah said, I can't. I'm not going to go to Milchama. I don't have to go to Milchama. The Baruch Shalom promised that there'll be a Yeshua. Hashem promised that there's going to be a salvation. And therefore, Chizkiah said, I don't have the ability to fight a war against a million people. I'm going to go to sleep. You will carry out what you promised. Therefore, it's clear that the Navi Yeshaya and Chizkiah Melech knew with absolute certainty that Sennacherib was not going to be able to defile the city, was not going to enter the walls of Yerushalayim. So then the question is, what therefore is the great battle that the Navi and the king were waging against public opinion? And what was the great concern, if you look there in the Psukim, what was the great concern that the Navi had and that the king had for the morale of the people? Benkach or Benkach, the Novi knew with absolute certainty that it's going to be okay, the mice is going to work out. And yet all the Novi is worried about is being mechazik the Yidden, strengthening them, and giving them hope, and telling them about the Nevuah. Why was it necessary to be concerned bechlal at that point with how the people felt if be'emeson in truth, everything was sort of set on automatic, and was moving towards the salvation, towards the Yeshua, which would not require any human involvement? Because Lamaisi, you all know that there was a Megefa, there was a plague, and it wasn't necessary to fight at all. And the Navi knew this. No, that's the background. Now let's begin to learn Pnimius. There's a Torah from the Holy Rebbe Rabbun from Pshischa. It's, if you look in the Kol Simch and Bishalach, that's where this Torah is. And this is the beginning. The Rebbe Bunim said that when Klai Yisrael was standing by the Yamsuf, that must have been a terrifying thing. We were standing by the shore of the Red Sea, and the Misrim, of course, are chasing us, the Egyptians are behind us, and there's no place to go on any side or anywhere to go. So the Rebbe Bunim said that the Yidden, the Jews, are filled with terror, with fear. Why? Listen carefully to the Rabbi Abunim's words. Because it was a pella in their eyes, how could they possibly be saved? What's going to happen under these circumstances? How could there be a Yeshua? Why? Because the Rabbi Abunim explains. Because they didn't see themselves as people who are worthy of anything spectacular taking place, and they didn't believe that the Baruch Shalom could have such a deep love for people like themselves, just like you and I would never expect the Baruch Shalom to do anything miraculous for us. We go to a tzaddik, maybe a neis, maybe through that tzaddik I can have a neis, but why would the Baruch Shalom do a neis for somebody like me? So the Rebbe Bunim says that when Klai Yisrael was standing by the Yamsuf, we felt that we were lost, and that's why we were terrified, because we didn't see ourselves as people who are worthy of a Yeshua and who are worthy of Hashem's love. So the Rebbe Bunim said, "V'acharkach Hakadosh Baruch Hu limed zchus haYisrael shehem bnei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov v'shehem asidim l'kabel haTorah v'shehem ruyim l'yivosha." So the Rebbeinu Shalom revealed to them by the Yam, as Chazal tells us by Riches, and it's hinted to in the Psukim. That they are what? That they're, no matter what they've done in their lives, no matter what mistakes they might have made, that they're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that they are going to receive the Torah, and that every Jew, no matter what he might have done wrong in his life and her life, is worthy of a miracle, is worthy of Yeshua. When Klai Yisrael was told that the Baruch Shalom revealed his love, and he said, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, I'm going to fight for you. V'atem tacharish, you don't have to even scream. I love you so completely, in such a way. So the Jews couldn't believe it. They thought that they're totally unworthy. Why would Hashem Yisbarach ever do something for us that's miraculous? So once they heard of this love that Hashem had, and that they're, and because they're the children of Am Yitzchak and Yaakov, and because Hashem has great plans for them in the future, that they're worthy of a Yeshua. So the Rebbe Abunim says, "V'zegor miyad laharomas leiv bnei Yisrael," that this caused the hearts of the Jewish people to be uplifted. And therefore, once they began, the Rebbe Abunim says, to believe in themselves, which, like Reb Sadik says in Sirkas HaTzadik, that just as a Jew is commanded to believe in Hashem, so too a Jew has to believe even more so that Hashem Yisbarach believes in him. And that's why I mentioned recently a teaching from the Tzaddik from Alexander, when it says, Ve'amunoscha b'leilos, when we say in Tillim and Davni, Ve'amunoscha b'leilos, it means on a deeper level, Hashem's belief in me during the night of Golos. Not my belief in Hashem during Golos, although that's spectacular, that a Jew can believe in Hashem no matter what. But the deepest thing to believe in is Ve'amunoscha b'leilos. That even though I'm going through a night time in my life, even though I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing, even though I'm not holding bechlal where I was holding when I was in yeshiva, when I was in seminary, when I was younger, and I've made so many mistakes, still you continue to believe in me during the night time of my life. So once the Jewish people began to believe in themselves, meaning believing in Hashem's love of each and every one of us, miyad shovu gam l'gvurasam, that gave them back their strength and their courage. They were paralyzed until then. They couldn't move. They were so frightened. And the Rebbe Abunim writes, "V'lahayu nechshavim haMitzrayim leklum beinehem." And once they had back their confidence, once they felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, and they were secure in that love, that no matter what mistakes they had made, and even though they had fallen into 49 levels of impurity, once they felt that, so then lahayu. Listen to the words, "V'lahayu nechshavim haMitzrayim leklum beinehem." Then the Egyptians were no longer considered to be anything in their eyes. They meant nothing to them. And the result of that hischaskis, Mimela, the Rebbe writes, Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim Mesal Svas Hayam, that the Jews saw the Egyptians die upon the shore of the ocean. The Rebbe Abunim says, what does that mean? The Rebbe Abunim says a gewaldige chiddush. It means they hadn't yet died. But once we felt that strength in ourselves and that confidence in Hashem's love, and once Hashem reminded us, and He says, "Kindlach, you know who you are. You know who you are." So once we felt that, so then even though the Egyptians hadn't yet died, the Rebbe Abunim says, but when we looked at them and they were there with their armies coming in full force. But now, how did we look at them? So the Rebbe says, "Mesal svasiyom shiroesam kiilu kvar mesu," as if they were already dead. "V'hoyu nechshavim lepgorim de'ineim," they were no more than corpses in their eyes. "Ukeefes v'tohu negdom," and that with all their armor, with all their weapons, with all their votes in the United Nations, it's ke'efes a ke'klum, mamish, like nothing. Negdan. K'neged the Jewish people. Shem avde Hashem, who are servants of HaKadosh Baruch. These are the words of the Rebbe Abun from Pshischa. That means, and I know this is simple, but it's so easy to forget this. So let's concentrate on this yisoid of Yiddishkeit. A miracle, a nes, is not a mitzias that is separate from Klai Yisrael. What do I mean by that? A miracle, a person usually thinks that the way that a miracle works is that it's yesh me'ayin, meaning, wow, that's a great thing. I couldn't do that, and I never expected that. Pshkayach. I mean, that's how we generally look at miracles. Thanks a lot. But that's not what the Sforim tell us. How the Rebbe does this stuff, that's his business. But why does it happen? So the Sforim tell us that Nisim are connected to the depth of the faith of the Jewish people, to the oimik of their emunah, and according to their sheifis and the godless haruach. In other words, a miracle, to a large extent, depends upon your belief that the miracle can happen. When Lubavitcher Rebbe Schulze Agenla used to say all the time, think good, it will be good. Those of you know or are familiar with Lubavitcher Rebbe know that he wasn't a simple person. He was an extremely profound thinker and a complicated person. And I mean that in a holy way. So what does it mean? Think good, it'll be good. What's that, like some lucky charm? Man, a lot of times I think good and it turns out rotten. Or I think bad and it comes out good. What does that mean? Think good, it'll be good. And you should tell that to people, the Mechazik people. Emunah, and we have to remember this, Emunah of Klai Yisrael, but it doesn't just mean believe, it means not just to believe in Hashem. Every one of us believes that Hashem is Baruch Hu can make Nisim. That's not our problem. What's missing in our lives is the belief that He would do it for us. Is the belief that that He loves us in such a way that we're worthy of that kind of attention and care. But the emes is that the same way, listen carefully, that the same way that Nisim, that miracles cause a person's faith to be uplifted, when there's a miracle, when there's a nes, it causes your emunah to be excited. Your emunah, your faith is uplifted. Like Ros HaShivcha LaYam, right? They crossed through the ocean, so even the maidservants were able to see great visions. But conversely, the greatness of one's emunah, listen, the greatness of one's faith is able to bring about Yeshua and Refuah, Nisim and Neflois. Again, that the same way that Nisim, that a miracle, causes me to feel more faith, the more faith that I have affects the nature of the situation and the possibility of a miracle taking place. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to a point. Let's go back to the situation when Yerushalayim is surrounded, because Yerushalayim is still surrounded. Yerushalayim is surrounded. Yerushalayim is surrounded. And Netanya is surrounded. And Herzli is surrounded. And Tel Aviv is surrounded. Is there a Jew in Eretz Yisrael who is not surrounded? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Klai Yisrael into that matzav. Into a matzav that seemed to be completely without hope. Statistically, militaristically, it wasn't shayach that there should be Yeshua. I mean, we were avudim in Ganzen. There was no hope. And the lachatz, the pressure was unbelievable. And as we spoke about last week, I'm hoping some of you remember that. I'm hoping that I remember it. We spoke about this last week, that the koach of a melchama, that the melchama has an amazing ability to bring a person, it shakes a person out of a superficial, shallow way of looking at life, and it forces you to begin to think, you know, who am I and what's the tachlis of my life? What am I doing here? And that's what suffering, unfortunately, or any difficulties in life cause a person to have to rethink. Like, what's my tachlis? Like, why am I here? And things are not silly like they used to be. Right, as we were talking about last week. So Hashem brought us into such a matzav, and we were then being challenged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reach deeply into those resources of belief in ourselves and belief in Him. Therefore, this was the struggle that Yeshaya HaNavi and Chizkiah were engaged in. The Navi and the king, if you look in Melachim Beis and Yeshaya, weren't in the least bit interested in what was going on outside the wall of Yerushalayim. They couldn't care less about what is said in the New York Times, or the Washington Post, or the London Times. Or they couldn't care less. The Navi and the king couldn't care less about about the army that was outside Yerushalayim. That wasn't what they were worried about. But when you look at the Navi and you read it for the first time, just quickly, without the Mefarshim, just right away, you'll see that what the Navi and the king were concerned with was the spirit and the morale, the emunah of Knesset Yisrael within the walls of Yerushalayim. That's what they were concerned with. And therefore, all they were working on was not going to battle. It wasn't Shaykh even to go to battle with that army. What they were working with or on was to bring a Hisrei Mimus to the spirit, to the Ruach of Knesset Yisrael. So the Klal Yisrael, the Jews, and look at the Psukim, that the Jews should come to an awareness and understanding of who they really are, and to realize that they are Ru'uyim LeYeshua, that the Jewish people are worthy of miracles, that the Jewish people are worthy of a Yeshua, because there's no way Al Pi Teva that Klal Yisrael has survived history. There's no way Al Pi Teva that left alone to our own defenses and left alone to our own Koiches HaGuf that we should be able to have survived. Infinitely more powerful nations than us are just entries in encyclopedias at this point. Therefore, this is what the Navi and the king were worried about. And they knew that even if a miyat, even if there's a small minority, but if that small minority would be strengthened to have that emunah bitachon, that would be able to bring to Yeshua. Because as we learned, that when that emunah is intact, and it doesn't just mean to believe in Hashem's kaiches, but it means to believe that I too can experience such a Yeshua. If I lift myself up to that madrega, I can be worthy of Yeshua through my emunah, my bitachon. Therefore, what Yeshaya and Chizkiah were fighting for was the spirit of the nation. And this is what it says in Tehillim. And this is, Rabbi said, this is what we have to fight for now as well. This is the Iker. It says in Tehillim in Perek Yud Aleph, Ki hin ha-rishoyim yidrichun keshes. The rishoyim, the wicked, are prepared with their bows and arrows. Lirais, and it goes on afterwards to say, Lirais be my oif li yishrei leif. And they are ambushing and hiding and preparing to shoot their arrows at who? At the yishrei leif. At the tzaddikim, the ones who have hearts that are upright, that are righteous. So the Medrash says that this pasuk in Tehillim is talking about Shevna. Remember who he was? Shevna was the one who was leading the opposition to Chizkiah and Yeshaya. Shevna was the Talmud Chacham who said, we have to sign a treaty with Sancheirev. We have to give in or die. Shevna was the one who, in the time of difficulties, shriveled up and lost that emunah in the worthiness of Klal Yisrael to bring miracles. So the Medrash says that this is talking about letters that was sent by Shevna to Sancheirev. Lirais be my oifel Chizkiah and Yeshaya. It says an amazing thing. That what? That Shevna was conducting a diplomatic negotiation with Sancheirev, with the Assyrians, on arrows. Letters were wrapped on arrows. I guess it was before email. Letters were wrapped on arrows, and they were shot into the camp of Sennacherib. And these were the arrows that David HaMelech was talking about. The Rishoyim, Yidruchun Keshes, is talking about the arrows that were sent by what? By Shevna, who wanted to sign a peace treaty, to give up Yerushalayim, to give up the Beis HaMikdash, to give up the dignity of Klal Yisrael, and to give up Kovod Shamayim, to give up Eretz Yisrael to the Rishoyim. And it says, Lirais b'mayayifel, Chazal say, who are the Yishrei Lev to destroy the ones of straight hearts? Chizkiya and Yeshaya. This is referring to Chizkiya and Yeshaya. So the arrows were really aimed at the Jewish people, meaning what? To demoralize. That wasn't Shevna's intention. His intention was, listen, fellas, we're losing. Let's throw in the towel. There's nothing we could do. We've lost. And Hashem wants us to survive. So he was aiming these arrows to the Jews who were rallying behind Yeshaya and Chizkiya. And it was against those arrows that Chizkiya and Yeshaya were fighting a spiritual war. A war against public opinion. A war against statistics. Public opinion. A war against the view of the majority. And trying to strengthen the Emunah. It's interesting, Chizkiya's name is in Lashon of what? To be Mechazik. Maybe it's possible. I never asked this before. I just need some water. I don't know. Something's going on in there. Shkayach. So Chizkiya's name means to be mechazik, to strengthen. And Yeshaya's name. And Yeshaya's name means to bring a Yeshua, as I mentioned before. And this is what they were fighting for. So what happened? Okay, Shkai. We find that in this milchama, to lift up the morale of the Jewish people, in this milchama, Chizkiya himself, for some time, Chizkiya himself became weakened. The Gemara tells us the following. Chizkiya was frightened. Omar, he said, Dilma chas v'sholem nat yedaite de kutshabichu bosaruba. Listen to this. And apply this to the way Jews, even God-fearing Jews, are thinking nowadays. This is why I wanted to share this with you. So here's a man like Chizkiya, Kodesh, a tzaddik, a strong person. But in the moment of weakness, the Gemara tells us he had this thought. And he didn't go around telling this to anybody. The Gemara is telling us what he was thinking. And the thought was, Dilma chas v'sholem nat yedaite de kutshabichu bosaruba. Then maybe what? Maybe Hashem Taka is following the majority. I mean, how could hundreds of thousands of people be wrong? I think the Secretary General of the United Nations made a tally last week, and he said, well, if the Americans say that the Jews are wrong, he didn't say the word Jews, he said Israel, but that's what it means. If the Americans say that the Jews are wrong, and if the Russians say, and the French, if the whole world says that the Jews are wrong, they must be wrong. Just make a simple cheshbon. So there were 200,000 at a rally in Washington. Well, the newspaper gave it 100,000. And there were, Baruch Hashem, some Yidden, they should all be well, that came on Sunday. And there are a lot of Jews that are shaking their fists in Paris and some other places in the world, and there's Israel. But there are hundreds of millions of people who say that we're wrong. Hundreds of millions. So the king Chizkiya was worried that maybe Chas v'Shalom not yedaite, the Kutshabichu Bosaruba. The cave and the ruba mimasri inhunami mimasri ihunami mimasri, which means what? What he was saying is the Mefarshim explain. Okay, we can put you later. Thanks. Not so active.
Thank you. I think my mother would be horrified.
So just and Chavi. Look at my Chavi and Shachar in real. Okay. B'derech shaladim reitzel leilach malichnesai. You know, there's a principle. That b'derech shaladim reitzel leilach, that the way that a person wants to go, even though it's not the right way, but if you're determined to go, malichnesai, they let you go. They let you go. So it could be, this is the way the Mefarshim explained. What was Chizki worried about? Chizki was worried that, look, if the majority of the Jews in Yerushalayim believe that we have to sign this peace treaty, and the majority believes that if we don't, we're going to die, then since there's a klal that b'derech shadim reitzel leilach malichnaisai, then maybe the hashgach is going to be this way, that the majority of Jews believe this way, and maybe this is what's going to be. So Yeshaya HaNavi saw with his Ruach HaKadosh that Chizkiyah was weakening, that the one who is the king, and the king is the heart of the entire Jewish people, the king whose name means strength, had this moment of weakness and doubt. Miyad bo Navi v'armalai. So the Gemara tells us that that's when the Navi came. Oh, that's good. That's good. Thanks, Yon. Yeah. That's when the Navi came and told Yeshaya, came and told Chizkiyah, Loi taimun kesher. The Navi said to Chizkiyah, Loi taimun kesher. Don't you think for a moment, thanks, Lonnie, and don't you say that what kesher, to make any sort of a connection to Sancheyariv? L'kol asher yomer ha'am hazer, L'kol asher yomer ha'am hazer kasher, which means, don't make a treaty. Don't be misled. Don't go along with the people of Shevna and Shevna with these Rishoyim, like Toymun Kasher. Which means, as the Gemara explains, Kleimer, Kasher Rishoyim, who? Rashi brings down there. There's a majority. Statistically, the majority of the Jews in Yerushalayim believe we should sign the peace treaty. So the Novi says, but the Kesher Rishoyim Einum and Haminyan. You remember that's how he began? That even though there's a klal in Halacha that says, Acheri Ram Lahatois, but you have to follow the majority. But the Pasuk says that that's not Lerois. As Rashi says, that's not if it's against the will of Hashem, if it's against the will of Torah. And the Novi Yeshaya was the one who received the Dvar Hashem. So the Novi is telling Chizkiyah, Reb Chizkiyah, you're worried about the majority, and that maybe the majority is somehow swaying a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the will of Hashem is being directed by the majority, by public opinion polls. So the Novi tells him that Kesher Yeshoyim Enum and Haminyan, that the majority of the wicked is not min haminyan. It doesn't count. Those votes don't count. And one doesn't have to take into consideration at all. One doesn't have to even stop and think for a moment. Because a roif, if there's a majority that's kaifer, that denies Hashem's love for the Jewish people, that denies what? The belief in the Novi of Hashem, that denies the promise that Hashem has made, that I will not let the goyim come into the city of Yerushalayim. That majority means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. The same way that there are some of my students that are here who know that over the years, I've told them this over and over again, it makes no difference. If every single person you know is Michal Shabbos, God forbid. Every single person you know says that you're crazy for dressing like a Jew and acting like a Jew and living like a God-fearing Jew. You're crazy. The Haraya, look at everybody in our family. Look at everybody in our community. Look at everybody in our shul. Look at everybody. These are all nice people and you love all of them. So the majority says that there's a certain mahalach that's normal. And if you follow the majority, then you're normal. And if you don't follow the majority, you're abnormal. So the Novi Yeshaya came and was screaming for all time that Kesher is Shoyim is Einim and Aminyan. That a majority that's against the Dvar Hashem is not a majority. It means nothing. Ephes, Gornisht. Therefore, even though we, the Yeshayahu says, are the minority, but we are the Shleimim and Ma'amina Yisrael, we are the ones who are the believers of Yisrael. And therefore, even now, how many Jews that are Shleimim Mitzvahs remain in the world, Safkal Saf? So we've lost our, have we lost our faith? We don't believe that what happens in Eretz Yisrael depends upon us. It depends upon our tefillahs. It depends upon our emunah. It depends upon our kiyum ha-mitzvahs. It depends upon how we speak to our husbands, our wives, our children. 100%. The whole world depends on it. Because if we begin to think that, that there's a majority of the world that looks at reality in a different way, and public opinion makes a difference to us, as I've been saying the last few weeks, we're all sitting out correcting about the newspapers, Gewalt, and CNN, Gewalt, what's going to be? How do we turn the hearts of these people around to like us? And then we'll be Matzliach. If only Colin Powell will be a believer in the policies of Sharon, then Klal Yisrael will live happily ever after. Kfira, apikars is mamish. This whole idea of this kind of hishtadlus means absolutely nothing. Because there's not a raiv, there's a ma'at. And the ma'at, the small remnant of Yisrael, who believe in the Rebbeinu Shlomo and his Torah, are machriya, are the ones who will decide. And will bring Klal Yisrael to a place of a Yeshua. And the ikkar now is for one Jew to be machazik another Jew. And his tefillahs, and his avoda, and his learning, and his masam tovim. And the Navi comes and says, Vesmoroyoi, over there in Yeshaya. Vesmoroyoi Siru. He tells Chizkiah, don't, and to the Jews in Yerushalayim, there's a minority. He says, don't be afraid of him. Vlo Tarisu. Look at the Targum Medicine. Vlo Tarisu means don't even. Zalo Babi Cheshbon. Vlo Tarisu. And can you imagine they're looking at one of those little holes in the wall, right? And they're like a million people, they're waiting to kill them. And the Norbi says, Vlo Tarisu. Don't have to even look at them. It means absolutely nothing. V'lo taritzu. They have no chesivus at all. There's no meaning to them at all. And what the Navi is saying was that at a time of crisis, for a Jew or for the Jewish people to have a thought of weakness, to have a thought to lose our confidence in Klal Yisrael, to lose our confidence in the Rebbeinu Shalom's love for us, that type of a machshava is the equivalent of a machshava of Avodah Zarah. It's an idolatrous thought. It's a thought that a Jew's not allowed to have. Any words that weaken the spirit of Klal Yisrael, words like, oh, there's no hope, what's going to be, and we're all guilty of talking this way. I've said words like this after you hear these things that are coming from Eretz Yisrael. Gewalt, there's no way out. What's going to be? What's going to be words of yeish? Words of despair. Now, of course, sadness. We're all sad. Well, it's a brachim when you hear that a Jew is hurt, let alone killed. But to lose hope, chas v'sholem, that there could be a Yeshua Hashem keherifayin, and there will be a Yeshua Hashem keherifayin. That's what the Novi and that's what the king were fighting against in Yerushalayim. Public opinion. Low morale. Loss of emunah. Because the Novi knew that there's going to be a Yeshua. But the Yeshua depends on what? On Klal Yisrael drawing the Yeshua into this world through their emunah. And drawing the nisim and the flois through what? Through their bitachon, through their belief in themselves and in Hashem's promise to Klal Yisrael. So he says, as Hashem tzevokos oisai takdishu. He says, the worry about Hashem, v'oisai tarisu, v'hu mayrachem, v'hu mayrischem. Therefore, the whole world has now voted, or so it seems, the majority of the world certainly has voted, that Jews should be investigated for war crimes. Not suicide bombers. Not anything, not the fact that there are millions of people that have been killing themselves, each other in Africa and in Iraq. And the very same people who are voting are the ones who are doing the killing. But the majority of the world looks at us like we're murderers. The majority of the world looks at us like murderers. Or as Kafi said, that the entire world can't be wrong. And he means a lot when he says that. And he sounds like he's a very sincere Russia. And he means it. So in the eyes of the world, so I was thinking about this. So the day after the rally in Washington, so so the New York Times, which like a machla I continue to look at, not anymore. I'm done with it. No, Baruch Hashem. I'm finished with it. Chasdei Hashem, and people who know me, that when I make up my mind, that's it. I'm done. So I haven't looked at it since that day, because the day after the rally, they had a little bit of picture and some distortions in a small little article, two full pages about the tragedy. I forget the title. Two full pages on the suffering and the suffering of the Jews and the Palestinians and the question of whether a massacre has taken place and Jews should be tried for war crimes. So based upon the rules and regulations of what the modern world calls democracy, which is the greatest mockery of all, because all of these countries are not democratic. I mean, I'm not talking about in Scandinavia, but the Arab countries that are screaming for human rights. And it's a pill, it's a wonder, no? It's so irrational that you see it can't be B'derech HaTeva. It's not B'derech HaTeva. So, Klal Yisrael is not a democracy. Is there anybody here that thinks that this is democracy? We're not a democracy, we're a Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh. We're a nation that is holy, a nation of priests. A Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh. If that works out occasionally with democracy, or more than occasionally, that's nice. But if Halacha doesn't work out with democracy, Halacha wins. And the Baruch Shalom wins. And Torah wins. So let's see how all this concludes. Gemara says in Brachas, Adav Samach. Let's see what happened at the end. So the Gemara says, "Hanichnis lebeis hamerchetz oimer." This is going to sound very strange unless you've seen the Gemara. Somebody who goes into the bathhouse should say, "Yiratzim is a little tefillah before you go in that you say, Yiratzim b'fanecha Hashem elokeinu shetatzileinu mizeh. Hashem, may it be your will that you save me from any danger." That might happen, anything that might happen to me there. Vim ye'orubi dvar takola tehemi sosi kaparosi. For whatever reason, it was dangerous on some level to go there. So if I die, may my death be an atonement for my sins. That was a little bit, that was the little tefillah that was said going into the bathhouse. So Amar Abaye, that was the brisa. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, we know the expression. Abaye says, you shouldn't say that. Because what? You don't want to open up the mouth for the satan. Why should I say before I go into the place, I should say that may I not have any danger? And if I die, it should be a kapara. So Abaye says, don't say that. Because you're opening the mouth for satan. So what does that mean? Sir Rav Kook says an amazing thing in the Ein Ayah. And listen to how it's mamish for now. Rav Kook says that there's no machlokas. There's no difference here. They're not really disagreeing. He says that the Braisa was taught, in other words, that view that said that you could say that little tefillah before going in, that you don't have to be afraid. You could just say that tefillah. That Braisa, Rav Kook said, was at a time when the Jewish people were living in Eretz Yisrael, and we were strong, and we were in a healthy state of being ourselves and being true to ourselves in Yerushalayim. Abaye was saying it already later on when it was Golus. He was already saying after the destruction at a time of galus, of exile, at a time of fear, at a time when the Jewish people were weak, at a time when many Jews were giving up hope. And that's why Abaye said, Leiliftach, when he said, Rav Kook explains, Leilayme in the Shachid, the Liftach Purmil Satan, it's not talking, Rav Kook, about something mystical, although of course that's the, also there. Rav Kook says that not to open the mouth for the Satan means that when there are Jews who are frightened, when there are Jews who are demoralized, when there are Jews who are, God forbid, giving up their hope, opening the mouth for the Satan means that a Jew should say words that are demoralizing to add to that state of despair. That to say words that cause Jews to lose their hope, to cause Jews to lose their confidence, instead of being mechazik them. That's why he said, at that time Rav Kook says, when it was galus, and we lost that confidence and strength, when things were going well, so you could say, a little bit of Yehi Ratzon before you go in, Tatzileini Mizeh, Hashem help me. And if it doesn't work out, it should be a kapara. But there was a sense of confidence and strength, and collective national health. But then later on in galus, Rav Kook says, you're not allowed to open the mouth of Satan, for Satan, which means don't say words that weaken the Jewish people. Don't say words that cause the morale to become even less and to lose their trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to lose their belief in Hashem's love for them. So could you imagine our matzav now? The matzav of Klal Yisrael. After the Churban that took place in Europe and all the difficulties that Klal Yisrael has been going through in these times. In our matzav, how careful we have to be not to be concerned with the majority, not to chalila be demoralized, not to speak words of yeyush. And that means not only as far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, but when you see a chavra that's going through a hard time, when you see someone that you love that's going through a difficult time and is frightened, but to give chizik the same way that the Navi understood, that by being mechazik a Jew, you can draw him into that place of nisim and nefloyis. Therefore, instead of losing hope, davka to strengthen the awareness of Tzipi Sili Yeshua. And instead of causing people to be pessimistic, the Novi Yeshaya said, V'chikisi la'Hashem, hamastir ponav mi beis yachiv kivisi lai. That I will wait for Hashem's salvation. And even though His face is hidden from me now, I will continue to believe in Him. I will continue to believe that a Yeshua is possible. So the end of the story was like this. So Shevna was leading his people out from the city to surrender, to keep their part of the deal with Sancheiriv. And the Navi and the king did not get in their way. You're going, you can go. And what happened? What happened was that as Shevna was leaving the gates of Yerushalayim to surrender, the Gemara tells us that the Malach Gavriel, that the angel Gavriel came and he shut the gates so that the only one who went was Shevna. And all of his followers, all of his chassidim, remained in the city. So it says in the Sfar Makedoshim, what's Gavriel coming over here? What is this? Gavriel closes the gates, so why didn't they open it? They close the gates, they open it. You can't find the key? What is that? So the Sfar Makedoshim tell us that when you have chazals like this, it means, Gavriel means the deepest feelings, thoughts, hopes, dreams of a Jew. That's called Gavriel. Gavriel means the ability to be misgaber. It means to overcome despair. That's what Gavriel means. It means strength. Gavriel means inner strength. So we could understand what this means. And I believe that Rav Kook explained it this way. I'm not sure. That at the last moment, as the Hamainam, 130,000 people, by that time more, were following Shevna, determined to save their lives and to sign an agreement, a peace treaty that would have brought devastation upon Klal Yisrael. At the last moment, not in Shevna's heart, he left the city alone. but in the heart of the simple Jews, of the Hamoin Am, in the heart of simple people like ourselves. The Malach Gavriel came and said, you can't leave Yerushalayim. You can't surrender Yerushalayim. You can't give it up. So that last second, Machshava's thoughts came to us from the Shoresh, from the very root of who we are, from the very depths of our existence, and suddenly filled these people who a moment before were determined to sign a peace treaty, who a moment before were ready to give up hope. We're leaving, we're abandoning the holy city. At the last second, the neshamas of Klal Yisrael did not allow them to go beyond the gate of the city. It's not that there was a door that they couldn't open. It was there's something inside of them that said, we're not leaving Yerushalayim. We changed our minds. We can't. V'chikisi l'Hashem, hamaster ponav mi beis Yaakov v'kivisi loy. Therefore we come to Lag Ba'omer. And the whole Indian of Lag Ba'omer, and here, if it was possible to talk b'arichus, but I know it's already late, in the piyut that we say, that we're going to say Lag Ba'omer, by the way, all invited, we're having in the shul, Mitzvah Shem, Monday night, Hilula, at 8:30. So Bar Yochai, Nezarta Begvura. Think of it. When you think of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when you think of Rabbi Shimon, if we could imagine in our mind's eye, Rabbi Shimon, I don't think any of us would think of him as a warrior. You wouldn't think of him as some like a tough-looking soldier type. You know, he was in the cave for many years. All right, the Baruch Shalom made a nace, and he had a little bit to eat with his son or below. They had something to eat, something to drink, but there was no Kugel or Kishka over there. And we think of Rabbi Shimon, he was probably a slight person, of slight build, of unbelievable heart and unbelievable mind. So we're going to say by the piyut, Bar Yochai, Nezarta begvura, you are armed with strength. Ubelmelchemes eish das hashara, and you, Bar Yochai, taught us how to fight the fiery war. You taught us how to fight. The cherub haitseisa mita'ara, and you took your sword out of the sheath. You took your sword. Shalafta neged tzarirecha, and you lifted up your sword to destroy the enemies. That's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai lived in a way that nobody understood, by himself, with his son, hidden from the eyes of the world. Uncovering the secrets of all existence. As Bar Yochai Nezar Tebegavur. Bar Yochai means that inside each and every Jew there's a secret. If you live without Rabbi Shimon, you only live like Shevna, that means living outside the walls of Yerushalayim. That's how life is without Rabbi Shimon. With Rabbi Shimon, you live inside the walls. Because Rabbi Shimon means pnimius. Rabbi Shimon means that inside a Jew there's a secret. And the secret says, even though it makes sense to give in, even though it makes sense to sign the treaty, even though it makes sense to care about the world, what the world thinks, even though it makes sense to care what this doctor says or that doctor says, even though it makes sense, you have given us the strength, Rabbi Shimon, because you're the master of secrets. And you know the Malach Gavriel is standing at the gate. And you know the Malach Gavriel doesn't allow a Jew to betray the secret of his love for Hashem, and the secret of his love for Yerushalayim, and the secret of his belief in Hashem's love for him. And the fiery war of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai with Pnimius HaTorah. Therefore I saw today from the Ramak, in one of the Svarim of the Ramak, in one of his Pirushim, in the Or Yochir, I saw an amazing thing. It's one sentence. And it's sitting in my head all day. Ramak says there's such a thing as a tzaddik, who's called tzaddik oimed beperetz. that the tzaddik stands, the peretz, which means where there's a breach that's made, where there's an opening, where there's danger, there's the tzaddik, the type of a tzaddik who's able to stand the peretz. What does that mean? So the Ramak says, listen to this. Here's another wonderful Jew that when we think of him, we think of the sweetest, kindest person on earth. That's Aaron, right? Aaron HaKohen. So he says, this is the Bechin of Aaron. Shaholach v'tofas b'malach ha-movis. That according to Chazal, when it was the time of the Magefa, and Aaron stood ben Hamesim ben Achayim, so Chazal say that Aaron, that soft and gentle and kind-hearted person always making shalom, Aaron, it says, Rather Ramak says, Aaron was oimid b'peretz. Chazal tell us that he grabbed hold of the Malach ha-movis. And he said, you're not touching a Jew. He grabbed hold of the Malach ha-movis. And David HaMelech, the Ramak says, when he was davening, the Malach ha-movis came. He said, get out of here. I'm not interested in you. He didn't care about the Malach ha-movis. And the Ramak ends and he says, V'zehu dargas Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, shlo hayo yorei mimenu. And this was the madrega of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who was not afraid of the Malach ha-movis. In Tehillim that we learn the keshes of the Rishoyim. There's a custom, as you know, on Lag BaOmer to take a keshes, a bow and arrow. And the tzaddikim had an avoda with that. And the children go out to the fields. And they shoot, traditionally they shoot an arrow. Against the keshes of Hinei Rishoyim Yidruchu keshes, there's the bow and arrow of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. There's bar Yochai and Nezar to Begvura. And what does that mean for us? It means the confidence that a Jew has in the Bein Shalom's love, the confidence that we have in Netzach Yisrael Yishaker, the confidence that we have that even though on the outside things don't look good, but in Pnimius, Netzach Yisrael Yishaker. And Rabbi Shimon was the Morad Soid, he was the Morad Razin, he was the master of Pnimius, of inside Yerushalayim. Therefore, what we have to work on now, what we should think about now, is to give chizik ish l're'ehu, one to the other, in all areas of life, to give chizik, and to know that even though thousands of years have passed since this story in the Navi, of Sancheiriv and of Yeshaya, of the Navi versus Sancheiriv, of the Navi who rejected public opinion, the Klai Yisrael still has this koyach. And it depends on us. Those who still believe in the promise of the Navi. And those who still believe in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So may Hashem's Baruch help that as we light a candle for Rabbi Shimon, and as we light the Meduris in Eretz Yisrael and here, that fire should be the fire that will destroy our enemies. And that fire will ignite the fire that a Jew has, the Labas Eish, in the heart of the Sneh. There's a fire that's burning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for each and every one of us. And in this way, the Mitzvah Shem will be able to be Zoycha for HaGula HaShlem V'Amitis, from Hem Yomeinu Amen V'Amen.